I want to focus on that. I feel just that the blood moves past just a place of symbolism and sentiment and just some sacrament we do when we break bread together. It has to move past that because it's so precious. And I was just reading, and for the last weeks, for those that missed it, for those that were here, just allow me to bring the others to catch up what the Lord has been sharing. And so I'm not going to labor there, but I do want us to just grab a hold of this. So the last while I shared on 1 Peter, you got that scripture, Marissa, 1 Peter 1:18 to 21, where it talks about knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways. You were not ransomed from the futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for our sake. And I also had that, just that understanding, you know, that Jesus has purchased you and me. Precious, even the gold, there's no currency in this world that could purchase you, but Jesus came and he did it. And I love that. And I want to talk about that, just the preciousness of his blood. And then we spoke about 1 John 1, verses 7, because one of the things is to know about the blood, but it's another thing to take that, what we know, and say, God, come and let it penetrate my heart. Let it move past the place that it's just a head knowledge. Take me to experience it. And God says, okay, I want you to experience it, but this is how you're going to experience it. And he takes us to 1 John 1. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. And I love that scripture. Amen. I love that, Albert. Walking in the light, it's about being transparent. Walking in the light is about being sincere. It's like the Bible says, put away falsehood. Put away those things. Put away, let's invite accountability in our lives. That's what he's saying. Walk in the light. That's what walking in the light is. Put away falsehood. Put away pretenses. Take off the masks. Because he's illustrating to us, this is the way that we can engage in one another, to allow the blood of Christ to wash us. And then he says that we have fellowship. And it goes beyond just coming here on a Sunday and a Wednesday. He's saying, move past that place. Let's open our hearts, our homes. Let's open our lives and to invite that transparency. And let's invite the light. Because as we expose, as we allow his light to shine in us and to have fellowship with one another, then he brings us to this reality. And then he says that as we do this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you see that? It cleanses us. This is where I want to pick up a little bit. Notice it doesn't say he has cleansed us from all sin. It's not a past tense thing. It's not just the work that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, that the blood was spilt on Calvary. It's not just that. He's saying the blood is having a continual work in you and me. And this is how it happens. By being in the light and having fellowship with one another, the implications of that are still going on today. It's a cleansing work, not a cleansed work. It's not past tense. It's cleansing. Do you see it? And this is what I want to focus on, is the application of it. It's the applying of it. And I love the scripture in Hebrews 10, verses 14. It says, for by a single offering, he was perfected for all time. Listen to this. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time. So there, in a sense, is past, present, future. In that single offering, Jesus completed everything. But then he says this. You can look at it like that. But then he says this, those who are being sanctified. Do you see? The work of Christ was done then. It is being done now. It will be. It's a continual thing. Even in the whole of eternity, it has been done. But yet, we are, present tense, being sanctified because of it. And so I think it's good that we see this. And so I want to say, even this evening, I'm not denying the sufficiency of what Christ did 2,000 years ago. I do believe that happened. I do believe in the sufficiency of he completing the work that he's done in us. But here's the thing. There's a present tense to this that I want to speak about. And that's that this is the outworking of the blood. It's that the blood speaks. Not the blood spoke. The blood speaks. And I want to focus on Hebrews 12 quickly. And if you got your Bibles, or we got the overheads, let's read this. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than that blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. Now, as I was looking at that, I want to encourage you guys, because as I was reading the scripture, we all know the book of Hebrews is a book of faith, right? It's a book of faith. If you know scripture, you know Hebrews is, if anything stands out in Hebrews, it's faith. It's a stirring. It's a, after reading that book, you think, God, I can do all things. You know, it's that edifying, it's that building in. Hebrews had an ability to do that. And he, I love the way he looks at the great hall of fame, all the guys that had gone before us. You know, he uses Samson, he uses David, he uses all everybody. And you look at those guys and you can say, but he did this. He failed here, he failed there. But Hebrews doesn't do that. It just looks at the faith. He just looks at, if these guys can do it, how much more can we in Christ? And he's stirring our faith. But here, as I read Hebrews, it's not just a stirring of faith. I actually read two things happening. I see a tension between two things as the writer comes here to this portion of Scripture. And this is what I want us to get. He says, so this is the encouraging part, because he's stirring our faith. He says, the blood of Christ speaks better things. Would you agree with me? Better means better. It means good. It means better. But here's the thing, and this is, the tension. This is where I want to, say, okay, that's great. That's great. I want to hold on to that. But he says this. He says that you do not refuse him who speaks. That's the tension. So you've got this, great, this blood is better. It's better. There's nothing else better than that. But here's my part. I don't refuse that. And most of us would say, well, we don't refuse that. I want to maybe just bring some questions to help us see whether we do or don't. Because like I said, we don't question, what Christ has done. But I want to say sometimes we question what he is doing in our lives. Come on. Who does that? Who doesn't always understand what's happening? And this is what I want us to see. Because there is a past response, but there's also an understanding that as I receive Jesus into my life, it's not just there. Like when we make the altar call, it isn't just come to Jesus and you make that altar call, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior. That's the beginning. That's the starting place. But here it's got to work out. And I love this because Hebrews here in this scripture brings two worlds together. And he speaks about Christ's past work and your present response. And he brings these two worlds together. It's not just Christ's previous work. It's not all he's talking about here. He's saying, be careful you don't refuse that very thing. Do you see that? Do you see the tension that he's pulling here? And so here this evening, I don't want to bring any sort of condemnation to you. In fact, I want to encourage you. I don't want to bring any kind of insecurity, but I want you to be secure in Jesus when you walk away here. And so please hear my heart. I'm not here to oppose what I feel the Lord is doing. But here's the thing. I want us to be clear. 1 John 1, verses 9 to 10, it also makes us clear. Because I think one of the things, you're not going to cling to the blood of Jesus if you don't really understand it, if you don't see the preciousness of it. But here John warns us, because sometimes we can look at the past and we can say, I understand Jesus died for my sins, but we don't understand that his past or what he's done is still presently working in you. That blood is still presently working in your life. And that's why 1 John 1 verses 9 to 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, okay, that's past tense. Would you agree with me? If we say we have not sinned, he's talking about the sin that we had done, we make him out to be a liar. Now, I don't think most of us would not acknowledge that. All of us here that have given our lives to Jesus, and I'm hoping all of you have, but all of us have come to the place that we know we've given our lives because we acknowledge we have sinned. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say for those who have sinned. He says, if we say we have no sin, what is that? That's present tense. That's not just the past tense. He's saying now, if you say that, you're deceived. He says, we deceive ourselves. And so there is an acknowledgement that, yes, it's past sins, but also there's the present that Christ came to redeem me of, to set me free. And he says, don't say to yourself there isn't a present sin, because then you're deceiving yourself. That's what 1 John's saying. And so there's an active work of the blood of Christ in us, and that's what I want to talk about, because when we get this, we cling to it now too. Not Jesus, come into life, in my life, be my personal Savior, and I'll just move on. As if what I acknowledged then, I don't have to acknowledge now. No, the same blood I grabbed a hold of there when I asked Jesus into my life, I'm still holding on. I can't let it go. It's still working. It's still presently working in my life. Nothing's changed. I'm still a sinner, but yes, there's come a point where I've come to the realization, and Christ has imputed his righteousness in me, but I know that I've got to stay and I've got to remain in him. I've got to cling on to the blood of Christ constantly. Do you see that? And so you might say, well, Benny, but you're not acknowledging that the work was complete. Yes, I am. I do acknowledge that Jesus paid it all. I do believe that the blood was sufficient. I do believe that when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. I believe that with all my heart. But let me say that finished work is still working in me. Do you see that? I believe it was really prophetic. When Brendan, where's the comm guys? They just felt, I don't know what led you guys to hand out the sweets. I think Taryn and Brendan had this thing just to hand out sweets with it, put a scripture on. And I said, you know, one of the things that spoke to me is almost like it was a prophetic act, really. Because I think just in that scripture, just in enjoying the sweet, it was like, wow, this is lekker. But with that scripture, it's like there's an acknowledgement that I'm tasting that sweet now. There's still a enjoyment, but the problem with that sweet, it's going to melt away. You're going to forget what it tastes like. You're going to move on. But thanks for the sweets. We appreciate it. But here's the thing. That scripture that you grabbed on, I hope you've grabbed on with everything, because that's got to remain. That taste, that flavor, it's still got to be in your mouth. But it's far greater than just the taste that God wants us to experience. It's his blood. And it goes on and on and on. And I need to cling to that. You need to cling to that. Because it speaks of better things over our lives. He's constantly speaking the better things over us. Do you hold on to that, guys? Do you hold on to that knowledge? It's not just here. Yeah, it's like, God, I know you're speaking better things. You're speaking better things. Not you spoke better things. Sometimes I feel some of us, we believed it, but we don't believe it anymore. We don't. God, you've spoken. That was then. Right now, I'm in a different place. God's saying, I'm speaking. Don't enjoy that like a sweet. God wants it's a constant thing that he wants us to taste and see that he's good. It's an ongoing work. And so let's experience what comes through the blood. I want to say this. I think we do need to understand what does come in God speaking over us. Because let's face it, the world is full of voices speaking other things over us. But here's what the blood does speak over us. And I didn't give Marissa any scriptures because I want to go quickly on this. I don't have time to focus on them. It's this confidence that we have in Christ that we can boldly enter into the Holy of Holies. And that's in Hebrews 10, verses 19. It's to have the security on the day of judgment. And that's in 1 John 4, verses 17. It's to know that we have eternal life. That's in 1 John 5, 13. It's to know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Romans 8, 38. It's to know I have peace with him in Romans 5, verses 1 to 2. But you see, all of that peace, all of that confidence, all of that security is what? It's found where? In him. In him. And we've got to get back to that place, church, where we're in him. We've got to be constantly in him. You cannot find that security in you. You cannot find that real confidence. And you can be confident, you can be self-confident, but let me tell you, it's not in him. You're going to fall one day. You're going to stumble. There's going to be something that you're going to realize. And if it's not with your inefficiency, it's going to be with your success, because that's going to lead to pride. But here's the thing is you've got to cling to Jesus, because it's his blood alone that brings confidence, that brings security, that brings the peace of God. And so I want to help you. I want you to see this, because I don't want you to be confident in you. I don't want you to be arrogant. I want you to be in him. And this is what I love about 2 Corinthians 13. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? You see, do you get this? Paul is not questioning the sufficiency of Christ. He's not questioning the sufficiency of the blood. He's questioning, he's saying to you, just see where your heart is. See where your faith is. Is it positioned in him? Paul never questioned Christ. He never questioned the work of Christ. But he's saying to you, check yourself, test yourself, because if you find yourself in a place of insecurity, where's your faith? If you find yourself in a place of not having confidence in the circumstances, where's your faith? If you find yourself in fear, where's your position? Because you're not hearing the blood of Christ anymore. Do you hear what he's saying? You're not hearing the blood speaking over you, because those things have overwhelmed you. Those voices have become greater. And so it's going to determine your faith. As you move away from that, you're going to hear other voices. And I want to say, God is not going to affirm us when we're away from. We're not going to hear his voice affirming us. He's not going to affirm you when you're living in the flesh. He's not going to affirm you when you love the world and the love of the Father is not in you. How's he going to affirm you? He's not going to affirm you when you're living for yourself, because you're not in him. Do you see it? It's when you're in him that you can hear the blood speaking over you. And I feel this is where God is taking us, church. This is the blood that speaks better things. And he says, speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, why does he use the illustration of Abel? Who remembers the story in Genesis 4? It's verse 10. It says, and the Lord said, what have you done? This is when Cain killed Abel. We know the story. When Cain killed Abel, and the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now, Abel's blood was crying to the Lord. What was he crying for? Justice. Vengeance. Judgment. God, you took my life. It was crying from the ground. God, there needs to be accountability. There needs to be justice. That was Abel's voice, God saying. But here he says, but you know what? We've got a better voice crying to us. Now, I want you to think about this, because most of you would probably say, well, I can understand Abel crying from the ground. I'm not a murderer. So I don't need to hear that much, you know, speaking positively. I'm not a murderer that God needs to save. I want to say to you, you are. So am I. In fact, we were, because we didn't just murder a brother. We murdered the Son of God. Do you see that? We murdered Jesus. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. Do you see that? So no, I'm not a small murderer. I don't know about you, but the Son of God we're talking about here. It carries a heavier weight, wouldn't you say? And normally what happens when you realize it, it's like, I didn't know. And it's saying the blood here, what you think would happen would be judgment, justice like Abel. But he's saying, no, this blood speaks of better things. What is he speaking to us? Mercy, grace, love. This is the blood of Jesus. Think of it. When he was nailed to the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's blood. It's speaking better things. Man, thank goodness, Lord, that you didn't speak like Abel. Thank goodness that the Son of God spoke mercy. That's heavy. Huh? That's I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I think, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. And so my question is, what voices are you hearing? Which voice can you hear at the moment? Because it's so critical for you to know. What is the voice that you can hear? I think sometimes we are so overwhelmed with other voices. We are. Come on, let's face it. Eh? There's so many voices in this world. I want to say there is no spiritual earmuffs. Let me tell you, you're still going to hear a voice. If it's not someone, it's something. And it's constantly ringing in our ears. I promise you guys, there's always going to be a voice. And there's always going to be an influence. And there's always going to be a conviction. There's always going to be a preference in your life. There's always going to be an opinion. And that opinion wasn't just formulated in your mind and your heart. It came because of a voice. And it spoke to you and it started directing your thoughts. It started channeling the way you think. I want to say, there is no void. There is no silence. There's always a voice. But the question is, where are you leaning your ear towards? That's the key. And I want to say it's so important that we hear his voice, because if we're not, we're either going to be led by the flesh or we're going to be led in the spirit. We are. You will either be led by one or the other. We're not going to just walk in our own feelings, and it's not your own. It belongs. It came from somewhere. Okay, do you hear? There is no vacuum. There is no void. Come on, let's face it. We're preoccupied with many things today. Just take the phone, for instance. This thing, how much of your time is spent here? It's a voice. It's a voice that constantly rings in your ear. Nowadays, even when we sleep, we have a voice. Who's heard of white noise? No, I'm serious. If it's not a fan, it's a podcast or some rain sound, whatever. I only found out the other day, you don't just have white noise, you have pink noise and brown noise. Am I right? I don't know what the difference is, but I know they all got different meanings to it. But there's always a voice. There's always a sound. And I really happen to agree with Nodus. We've lost the ability to just be in silence, to just meditate. Huh? There's an entire industry built around keeping us preoccupied with sound. Think of it. It's because we have an inability to be still. Have you ever thought about that? An entire industry built around you sleeping at night. Or just being still. We can't handle it anymore. Actually, I think we need to redeem meditation back from the New Age movement. We need to meditate on the Lord, things of the Lord. We have to. Guys, there's even a scripture in Zephaniah 1:7 that says, be silent before the Lord. Lamentations 3:26, it says, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I want to say sometimes we don't wait for that salvation. We don't wait for that salvation in us. We're like, God, I'm in anxiety. God, I got to do this. God, I got to do that. And we just sit and wait. That's what he's asking us. We need to do that. Put your phone aside. Switch off the white noise. Because there's always opposing voices. And here's the thing. This is what they are. And I'm going to quickly go through them. I think one of the opposing voices that comes to us is Satan. It talks about him being our accuser. And that's in Revelations 12, verses 10. It says, the accuser of your brother has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. You know what other voice there is? The law. It's the legal accuser. In Romans 3:20, it says, through the law comes knowledge of sin. Then there's the conscience, which is the internal accuser. I think a lot of us have this one. It's the internal accuser. But here's what James says, 1 John 3:20. It says, whenever your heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And then there's the world, which is our external accusers. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Now, I do believe that it doesn't just have to be one of those things. It doesn't just have to be the law. It doesn't just have to be Satan. It doesn't have to just be the internal accusers. Sometimes those things work simultaneously together. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes your conscience will use the law to make you conscious. Sometimes the devil will speak lies and use the law and your conscience. You know what I'm saying? It's not just one thing. It's like all these things are constantly speaking against you. Man, I need to hear the voice of the Spirit. What about you? I need it. And here's what we got to understand. It's these voices are constantly accusing us. So that's why the voice of Jesus needs to be constantly heard. We need to be hearing the speaking, not just the past. Oh, God gave me this prophecy and this is it. And this is his love. He told me he loved me and I believe it. But let me tell you, I need to know he loves me now. It reminds me of my mom and dad. When my dad, I had to work myself out of a lot of the shouldn't do's of marriage that my father taught me. One of the things he would say, my mom would say, you never tell me you love me. She says, I told you when I got married, I haven't changed my mind. I'll let you know if I change my mind. But here's the thing. We say the same. You know, God, he told me he loved me, but I need to know now. Why? Because your circumstances change. Your conditions change. You need to know now. You need to know now. You need to know now in where you are. And if you're not hearing that voice, let me tell you, there will be other voices telling you otherwise, telling you why you're not sufficient, telling you why you messed up, telling you why you name the list. You fill in the gap. But it's always going to be there. And Hebrews 9:14, it says, the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from dead works. Now listen to this. The blood of Christ. You hear me, church? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ will purify our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Now, I want you to understand something here. See, as the blood of Christ speaks over us, it purifies us for what? For good works. Do you see something that happens here? See, Satan wants to not just to accuse you. It's not just for that reason. He accuses you because he wants to immobilize you. Do you see that? If he can say you're not worth anything, you will battle to stand up here and give a prophetic word because your value will say, I'm not worthy to do that. That's a lie. There's many times that I've had to preach on a Sunday. And you can ask my wife, coming to church, there's been a great time, good weekend. Coming to church, we will have an argument. And at that moment, I feel insufficient. At the moment, she's doing worship and I'm preaching. And right there, the enemy got right in. And I feel, God, I can't do this. I can't. I feel condemned. And we have to make right and try and sort this out. Because if I don't, when I stand up here, I don't have a conviction anymore because I'm feeling guilty. Do you see that? It's the enemy's strategy. I want to say, I don't believe I'm alone. I'm sure you guys feel those similar things. Might be a little bit different, but they're there. And I want to say, as we read the scripture in Hebrews 9, why does the enemy do it? And it's explaining what the blood of Christ does. It says he purifies our conscience from dead works to what? To serve the living God. Do you see what it does? So we need to hear the voice of God because you guys, you're the priesthood. If Satan can immobilize you, he will. And so I want to say, if you aren't doing things because God has asked you to do, because you feel unworthy, because you feel condemned, because you feel you need to do more, I want to say you don't understand the sufficiency of Christ in your life because you made it about you. Not coming to the front sometimes is the pride. Sometimes you look at people that come to the front. Look at that guy. He's always up in the front. He's got so much pride in his heart. Meanwhile, you're the guy sitting at the back because you got pride. Do you see that? Obedience, guys, obedience is us responding to the Lord. And I'm not saying everybody has to come to the front. Please hear my heart. I'm saying we need to be priests that are mobilized to do the things of God. But the only way you're going to be mobilized is when you're hearing the blood speak into your life. That you are a priest, that I've set you free, that I've healed you. And so the blood of Christ purifies us so that we can serve. I've got a word from Britt. She's sick today, but she had a word as I was prepping, and I didn't tell her what I was sharing. And just let me find it, if you can give me a minute quickly. Come on. She had a scripture from Isaiah 43. You can give me that one, Marissa. And I'm just going to read what she said. This really ties up. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Just keep it up. It says, and she said, like, really just wants to focus on the part where it says, remember not the former things. How's that? How's that prophetic word? And she actually said to me this. I feel like that a lot of hindrances of being able to see what the Lord is doing in our lives or in the lives of others is the fact that we can find ourselves trapped in the past, things good or bad. And then she says, and the part of scripture where it says, I'm doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? It's quite a statement, almost like we're missing it if we can't see it because we are clouded in our hearts and minds from the things that has happened. You see how much that ties up with what we've been talking about? Huh? This is a prophetic word. Shame. She's not here. She's been sick, but she gave this word. And I felt, thank you, Lord. It's confirmation. You're saying something. And so I want us to respond to it. I don't believe it's my word. I mean, clearly the Lord has spoken prophetically. But I want to create an opportunity right now. I want to say maybe there's some of us who feel immobilized. We held back. We're feeling condemned. And it's prevented you from walking in the fullness of what God has for you. It's prevented you from doing the works that God has asked you to do. It's prevented you from just living in that, to bearing fruit. And I want to say today is the day that we respond to Him. Not to me, but to Him. And I want to say today that as we come before Him, we're coming before the blood of Christ. That He comes and washes us, that He begins to speak new things. And taking that scripture that Britt just brought, I want us to hear Him. I want us to come before Him. I want us to, even if we have to be quiet, let's do it. Let's respond. But let us hear the blood again. Let's hear this blood that speaks of better things. Let us hear His mercy. Let's hear His forgiveness. Let's hear His grace over us. Can we do that? Can we do that this evening? I want to say, there might be some of you sitting here that have battled with that right now. And we're not here to condemn you. But I do feel you do need to respond. I do feel you need to come to the front. And like I said, it's not me doing the work, but it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. But He needs to come and wash over you. He needs to come and bring the blood of Christ back to you that you begin to hear Him speaking over you. So I'm going to ask the music team, Jamie, you guys can just come forward and just lead us in worship. But I want the rest of you just to, as we just come before the Lord, maybe the Lord's challenged you that you haven't come before Him, that you haven't really allowed the blood to begin to speak into your life, that you've heard other voices, that those voices get silent today, that those voices be still today, like Jesus calming the sea. I feel He needs to calm that in us. Some of us need to hear that calming in our hearts. Sometimes it's a heart thing. Sometimes it's a mental thing. But let's be silent before Him. Let Him still the waters. Can we do that? So I want to maybe just pray. And then I'm going to ask that you respond, if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your precious blood. Lord, today I want us to just come before You, knowing that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And Father, even though we know that this blood is precious, we haven't clung to it. Even though we know this blood is precious, we sometimes haven't applied it in our lives because we haven't lived in the light. We haven't fellowshipped. We've actually been out of touch. We haven't been in You, Jesus. Father, I want to pray, won't You bring us back? Won't You call us back, Lord, and as we respond to You this evening, that we'll begin to hear this blood again. This blood will begin to wash over our hearts and our minds, Jesus, that we'll begin to hear the better things that You have for us, Lord. That we won't be caught up in condemnation. That we won't be caught up in anger and unforgiveness and justice. But we would hear mercy. That we'd hear forgiveness. that we'd hear your grace and your love over us, Jesus, because we need that. We need you. And it's your kindness that leads us back to repentance. And so we want to come right now before you, Lord. And so if that's you, I want to say, why don't you come and just respond to him this evening? We'll pray for you, but respond to him. Amen.